This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about salad dressing.
Oh, great. Something that scared me for most of my life.
Yep. Yeah. We're going to have another therapy session here on
Okay,
Spilled
great.
Milk. We hope you all enjoy it.
Next week, we can talk about heights and girls. So let's turn the clock back, as we often do. What were the salad dressings of your youth?
Oh, the salad dressings of my youth. Well, my dad was the vinaigrette maker in the house, and he used this Spice Islands. I don't even know what it was called. It was like a vinaigrette seasoning.
Okay.
And that was sort of the base of his vinaigrette. He used probably red wine vinegar, maybe white wine vinegar, olive oil. Sometimes he threw in an egg for an emulsifier.
Interesting.
So an egg yolk, actually, I should specify. And usually a little bit of mustard, and then this Spice Islands vinaigrette, you know, seasoning powder. And it was so delicious. He would keep it in a little pint-sized mason jar on the kitchen counter, and we used it on everything.
Now, the seasoning powder, was it anything like ranch dressing powder?
It was not, although I did eat some ranch dressing in my youth, you know, of course, out of a bottle. My dad would also sometimes buy the ranch dressing powder and make it that way. But I don't remember even eating enough ranch dressing to use a whole packet of powder to mix it up, you know?
I can tell you with scientific certainty how much ranch dressing I consumed as a child.
Yeah, so tell me about the salad dressings of your youth.
None. I until I was like, I don't know, a teenager, I had an irrational fear of condiments. And salad dressing was perhaps foremost among them. And I wasn't afraid of salad. I just like plain salad.
You know, have we talked about this before? Because
yeah,
I was afraid of condiments. Like, if I had a hot dog as a kid or a hamburger, it was totally plain.
No
ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, none of that stuff.
Same here. And like, to this day, I don't like ketchup or mustard on things. I like very similar things with different names, like barbecue sauce.
So at what point did you make the great leap into the world of salad dressings?
I think the other things came along before salad dressing. So like, occasionally, I could go for like one of those Chinese chicken salads where it's got the soy sauce based dressing. That seemed divorced enough from things like vinegar and olive oil that I could get with that. But I don't think I ever made a vinaigrette until I was an adult.
Wow.
And I mean, it does concern me how young the kids are making vinaigrettes these days.
I know. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. A sign of maturity that has come too early, perhaps.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the other thing is, and I should add, just to really come clean today, is that there was a phase in the mid-90s when my mother and I used fat-free bottled vinaigrette.
Whoa.
I know. And I want to say this here so that everybody knows, I have tried it, and it's don't do it.
Now, did you ever marinate a chicken breast in bottled Italian dressing and then bake it?
I think I may have. I may have. I mean, you know, like,
because that's America right there.
That is America. There are entire cookbooks based on what you can do with Italian dressing.
I'm sure there are.
You know, and just before we move on entirely to talk about homemade dressings, I do want to give a little shout out to Paul Newman because, you know, rest in peace, Paul Newman.
Because he's Paul Newman.
Well, yeah, because he's Paul Newman. You know, there if you Google Paul Newman, Joanne Woodward, there is this beautiful photograph of the two of them with their little dog in like the 1960s. And he is the most beautiful specimen I've ever seen. That's
yeah, I can't
not
argue
why
with that.
I want to give him a shout out. I want to give him a shout out because he actually made a bottled salad dressing that is not horrendous.
Lots of that Paul Newman stuff is good. Yeah. We should talk to their marketing people.
We definitely should.
Because I like his spaghetti sauce too.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's talk about making some vinaigrettes.
Okay. So, how do you do it? I mean, we just had your vinaigrette, and one thing I noticed about it is that it has a great balanced flavor, but it is definitely more vinegary than most, which I like. I like sour things.
So a traditional vinaigrette recipe is usually one part vinegar to three parts oil. And
okay.
that's kind of the common wisdom, that's where you want to start. I like to turn that on its head a bit. Are you ready for this, Matthew?
I'm getting nervous. I'm quivering in my seat.
I use three parts vinegar to five parts oil.
No.
Yes. So over half vinegar. Now, that said, you really, you know, you can't just throw in 3 tablespoons of vinegar and 5 tablespoons of oil and expect it to taste the same all the time.
Right.
Depending on the vinegar, depending on the oil, I might go up to 6, maybe 7 tablespoons of oil if the vinegar is particularly strong.
Okay.
The vinaigrette that we tasted today was about 3 to 6. So 1 to 2 rather than the usual 1 to 3. And I use a lot of mustard.
Mm-hmm. I could taste that too.
Decent amount of salt. Sometimes I throw in some shallots, macerate them in the vinegar before you mix the vinegar into the rest of the dressing.
You know what I like to do sometimes is roast shallots and put those in there.
That would be great.
It's really
roasted
good.
Shallot vinaigrette?
Yes.
Yeah. Does this sound good to you, or are you still freaked out at the thought of salad dressing at all?
No, it does sound good to me. I'm a grown-up now. It happened sometime. No, I'm not. in salad dressing terms, I think I grew up sometime around age 27 or something.
I think the other thing to mention is that, so when I'm making my vinaigrette, I really think carefully about two things. And those two.
One is Paul Newman.
Paul Newman. I'm always thinking about
Paul. Keep him in your mind at all times whenever cooking.
I'm thinking about him right now.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, I choose my mustard carefully, and I choose my oil carefully. And for mustard, I highly recommend not using Grey Poupon. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, Grey Poupon, you are not the mustard for my salad dressings.
But I feel like I'd be letting down the guy in the limo.
Anyway.
Okay.
So what I was trying to say is I don't like Grey Poupon in my salad dressing. It you know, part of what Grey Poupon loves to say about itself is that it has wine in the recipe.
That's true.
Grey Poupon loves to talk about the fact that it uses wine, which makes it a very high class mustard, obviously.
Yes.
I think that wine gives it a bit of a fruity bitterness when you use it in a vinaigrette, especially if you use it in anything more than a very small quantity.
Okay.
I recommend using a couple other different brands of Dijon mustard, which we'll write about on the website. The other thing I would say is choose an olive oil that, whether it's a cheap olive oil or a good olive oil, choose one that has a nice, big, round, smooth flavor and a lot of flavor.
So not like a really throaty, bittery, tannic olive oil.
Yeah, I wouldn't choose one that's, you know, for example, really green or grassy, something that you might want to, you know, I don't know, drizzle over a piece of fish or something.
Okay.
I would choose something that is definitely more round on the palate.
Now, we've talked about the oil, we've talked about the mustard. What is your vinegar philosophy?
Well, my vinegar philosophy is I don't like balsamic vinegar very much in vinaigrettes. I do like a little bit of it, but I would never make a vinaigrette solely with balsamic. It's pretty potent, and it can get pretty sweet. So for me, for my everyday vinaigrettes, I like red wine vinegar or white wine vinegar, or sometimes I'll take the same dressing formula and do maybe half lemon juice and half champagne vinegar. And
oh,
that's
that sounds
really
good.
Nice, too.
I like lemon juice, especially if I'm going to be serving, like making like a steak salad. I think lemon juice works really well with that.
Yeah.
Now, my standard vinegar is sherry vinegar. And I don't know, someone said to me, it used to be red wine vinegar, and then someone said to me, you know, that salad you were talking about, that would be really good with sherry vinegar. And I'm like, yeah, I've never really bought any sherry vinegar. And so I did, and I made the salad with it, and I've been making salads with sherry vinegar mostly since then.
Do you use mustard most of the time?
No, I usually don't.
No, just oil and vinegar, maybe some salt?
Mustard is one of those things that I'm still sort of scared of.
Really?
Yeah, and I would never object to it in a vinaigrette that someone else has made, but like the thought of scooping some mustard out of the jar myself, like that's getting a little too close to the edge.
What if I scooped your mustard for you?
Like every time?
Sure, you just call me up, I'll come over, I'll help you make your dressing.
Okay.
Only if I'm in the neighborhood, though.
All right, yeah. You're on.
You got to give me lots of advance notice.
Okay.
Enough about me and my love for mustard.
Okay.
Let's talk
about
you and your dressing today, which had miso.
Let's talk more about Paul Newman. My dressing today was not made with red wine vinegar. It was not made with olive oil. It was not made with any of that European stuff. I did a miso dressing. I used white miso and rice wine vinegar and a little bit of sugar and pepper and canola oil, because I wanted a neutral oil that would just kind of help it stick to the greens.
Mm-hmm.
And I like miso because it gives it sort of like a mayonnaise-like body, but it doesn't. It's a very different flavor. You know, it's clearly taking it in more of an Asian direction. But I think it can work with all kinds of foods. Like I certainly wouldn't object to eating a miso-dressed salad with a burger.
What I really liked about your dressing is that it was very bright. That it had sort of the same consistency and the same brightness as the one that I made, but a very different flavor. It really one thing that I said to you when I first tasted it is that. It was also really smooth. I had had miso dressings before in like Japanese restaurants, and they always had a little bit of a gritty quality to them. But this was really smooth and silky, and it was delicious.
Yeah, and I wonder if that has to do with the miso, or if maybe one thing I've noticed is they use a lot more sugar in most restaurant dressings than I would use at home. And I wonder if there's like some undissolved sugar granules going on in there too. Not to disparage any restaurant in particular, but that's pretty nasty.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, you know, now that we've discussed vinaigrettes, I think we've been staying in safe territory here,
yeah.
Really.
Let's go crazy.
Let's go deeper, Matthew. Let's go deeper into your subconscious. Let's talk about creamy dressing. Is it okay? Can we do this?
Okay.
So are you still averse to creamy dressings?
Yeah, pretty much.
So what's the problem here, man? I mean, ranch? You don't like ranch? You don't like a good buttermilk dressing?
I don't like ranch.
How about blue cheese? A good blue cheese dressing?
I can live with a blue cheese dressing because I really like blue cheese flavor, but I wish it could be delivered in some other consistency.
A blue cheese vinaigrette.
Right, exactly. I totally will make I'll make a vinaigrette and then throw some blue cheese on the salad.
Well, no, that sounds fine, but I don't know if I would like a, you know, blue cheese sort of whisked into a vinaigrette.
No, I don't think I would either.
Something about that just...
But I don't think I would like it any less than blue cheese whipped into a creamy dressing.
So what is it that is this just a visceral thing? Is this a phobia, Matthew?
I think it's a phobia. It's, I don't know, it looks weird. It's like, you know, it's like salad and it's got this like glooped onto it.
Glooped?
Yeah. I think I feel about it the same way I feel about like when I see a bowl of pasta and like instead of the pasta being tossed with the sauce, like there's white pasta and then like a red splat in the middle. I feel the same way when I see like creamy dressing that hasn't been carefully anointed onto each piece of salad green.
You know, I love creamy dressings, but the one thing I have to say is that I know what you mean by that. And I do,
good, because I'm not sure I did.
I do think that if you're going to use creamy dressings, you have to be selective. And I think that you need to use them on romaine.
I'm very selective about that.
Or I think you need to use them on romaine or some sort of hearty green. Because, for instance, today we used these beautiful little salad greens that were very silky and tender. And if we had tried to toss those with a creamy dressing,
right,
it would have literally turned them into like wilted slime.
Right. Hence the iceberg wedge.
That is a brilliant salad. You can't even get behind the iceberg wedge with like buttermilk dressing, some bacon.
Could I have just the bacon? To try and get us away from this terrible, terrible topic, I just want to go on record as saying I think peanut butter in salad dressing is awesome.
That sounds delicious. How would you use it?
Well, you could, I mean, in Indonesia, there's gado-gado, which is like vegetables and crispy shrimp chips and like peanut-based dressing. Or you could just go the white trash route and take some jif and whip it up with some soy sauce and ginger and rice vinegar or any vinegar and sugar. And that would be really, really good.
Now, this isn't... So you've mentioned to me before that you make a Thai salad dressing. What is that?
Yeah, and I read about it in Bon Appetit.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Excellent publication.
Yes. Thai salad dressing. Now, Thai salad dressing, I love it. It's totally different from the vinaigrette philosophy because there's no vinegar in it. It's lime juice, and there's no fat in it. And you would think this couldn't even work. Like, how does it stick to the stuff? And the answer is you make a dressing with chilies, lime juice, garlic, sugar, and fish sauce. And then you just use a ton of it. And so that's how it gets on the stuff, is you just use more than you would expect. And there's like, you know, if you've got a pool of dressing at the bottom of the bowl, that is totally okay with a Thai salad dressing.
So this is what you would use on a green papaya salad a green mango salad. Would you also use it maybe on like a romaine salad? How do you think that
would
be?
You could totally do that.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
I never thought about that. I've only used it on Thai-ish things.
Yeah, or you could do a romaine salad and throw like some grilled steak on top, and that would be basically a totally authentic Thai salad.
That sounds awesome. Wow. Okay. Well, we'll put the recipe on the old Spilled Milk website.
Okay. Along with our vinaigrette recipes. Can we do that?
Yeah, we'll do that. We will definitely do that. We'll mention again the mustards that I'm so crazy about. Maybe we'll even link to that Paul Newman photo.
I was just going to say. Okay. Well, good. I think at this point in the show, we can safely stow my childhood phobias back into the vault where they belong.
Oh, I tried. Well, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the show that puts the regret back in vinaigrette.
I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg.
The show that made Paul Newman roll over in his grave in a happy way.
What the hell is that supposed to mean? I don't even want to think about it.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.